you want to, you can turn to the 16th chapter of Mark. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, especially this time of year. We was reading in all the four Gospels last night what took place that sunrise so long ago, and we was just amazed how it was a different for so many people there. It says in the first verse, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entered into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly, and they fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and we're amazed. We're going to stop right there. Then it says over in Matthew, it says they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. We were thinking about that, and was thinking about that early morning and what the women could have possibly been thinking. We know that if you read in, I think it's in Luke, it mentions that there was many women. We know that Mary Magdalene had 7 devils cast out of her. We know that Salome was James and John's mother, and as well as the mother of James, and that they were all there, and no doubt very heavy-hearted. I don't know the spices that they bought, what the value of them was, but I can only imagine that they come there to reminisce, maybe to think about all the teachings that they'd heard from him, how that the wonderful Savior had made them special, made them feel so special that he cared about them. And as they were walking there, they had, I'm sure it was kind of like those things sometimes, the spur of the moment, you don't think them all the way through. And it occurred to them at some point that wait a minute, how are we going to adorn the body of Christ because there's this great stone in the way? And yet that did not deter them from continuing on their journey. I wonder if that morning, if the birds lift their heads up just a little bit higher, Daddy, as the sun began to rise, just to sing a little bit louder, not knowing why their heart was bending them. I felt like this morning was something special. I wonder, as the women were there, and they dallied around, maybe they started walking a little bit slower, thinking about all that the Lord had said to thinking about, let's just enjoy the moment. Let things just take care of themselves. I don't know how we're going to see the Lord. I don't know how this stone's going to be rolled out of the way. But they find when they get there that it's rolled away. Well, praise God. The Lord's made a way somehow. I might decorate my loving Savior's body. When they go, what do they find there? They find one of the angels.
Oh, we've got an awful cold. We don't get this preached out. I lost my watch. Hey, you watch the clock for me. But anyhow, she said, I know I'll see him in the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I wonder if one of those Marys there was thinking about that. The disciples thinking that he was set up an earthly kingdom and thought that he was killed before his time, as it were. But there is the resurrection. I will see him when I die. But they couldn't comprehend that not only is he the resurrection and the life for us to die, but he is the present resurrection. That he has come. That he conquered death and the grave. So that Daryl today can live a life and have it more abundantly.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I'm glad that I've got something to look forward to. I think about it a lot. You know, we were thinking about my grandfather. I guess of all of those that have been on before, you know, we want to go to heaven to see the Lord. Of those earthly people that we've met, I reckon I look forward to seeing my grandfather more than any of them. But you know what? The Lord just didn't hang on the cross and die so that I might have life in the life to come. But he stretched out his arms and was nailed to that cross. We was thinking about it. He got a book at the house. And there was all the manners of different ways that people were nailed to a cross. And I'd seen some that I hadn't seen before. Where that they placed their legs on the side of that cross. And they hammered great big spikes right through their legs here. In between the two. I don't know how they nailed him. But one thing I know, they didn't hold him down. I can't imagine why the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God Almighty himself, would let filthy man do that to him, other than to say it was because his love for me and you. It was because he could see beyond the crucifixion to the resurrection morn. He could hear them birds singing come sunrise. I'm thankful when the sun comes and I speak up. The Son of God comes again. The Bible tells me that all of those that in Christ shall rise. I don't know whether I'll be on the top side or on the bottom side of this here ground I'm standing on. But you know what? I sure am glad that the same one that removed the stone so long ago is the same one that's going to cause them graves to split open. Glory be to God. I have a promise of a life to come. But listen, we don't have to just look out beyond there. We can see, as it were, we can see it today, that the Lord came for the Mary Magdalene's, for the mothers of James, for the mothers of John. And he comes for the Peters. You know, the Bible says that the women come early. Oh, then they come and they told the news. And we hear the account in John. If you want to read it, you can read Peter and John there. And I wonder if Peter just took out of there, and he seemed to be, as we would read about Peter in the Gospels, he seemed to be an impulsive person, always the first one to speak. I imagine he jumped up and started on his way running. And I think about, I don't know if age set in, or he just got to run and he thought, well, wait a minute. Do I really want to meet this Jesus that I denied three times there in Pilate's home? Do I really want to go As he was contemplating all this, John got ahead of him. And he all went, I'm already on my way. I know the women said that they were going to decorate the body of Christ, but yet there was this great stone in the way, and it was miraculously moved. Any of us see him, I'll just bow at his feet. I don't know what I'll do. And as John was there looking in, Peter, I said, well, could it be true? Is it really empty? And he couldn't bear. I asked John, what he's seen. But he run in there, and he seen that it was empty. And the Bible says, but no doubt just as the women had fear. And trembling, they not only were amazed, but they experienced joy. No doubt many of people since then have met the Savior and had all manner of emotion. But my prayer is today that if there's anyone lost, that they'll not leave from the presence of God full of fear. But they'll not leave the presence of the Lord simply being amazed that you might dwell in the presence of God and experience the joy of serving a risen Savior. You know, I'm sure that there was some of the disciples, some of the women that were looking forward to seeing Jesus. Women died. But little did they know that his plan of salvation was to live in our hearts and to deliver us in this present world. You know, to read the Old Testament as well as in Revelations, the Bible says that the day of the Lord will be a dark day. I imagine that when the Lord comes again, that there will be those that feel as these women did that early morning with heavy hearts. But listen, the sun is going to come again. The sun is going to rise. And I can't hardly imagine what emotion that they must have felt when they'd seen that the Romans had not killed, as it were, their dreams. That the Jews, you know, I wonder about the disciples. They looked at the whole political situation that it was, and they hated the Romans. Maybe they distrusted and they disliked the religious people of that day. And when Jesus Christ came and he spoke in such plain language, when he spoke with such clarity and with such love, that they was there and they were thinking about that. I wonder. They thought, well, this is the one that's going to make a difference. And then he died. But yet they cleaved to the words that he said. They could not fully comprehend. We have a book. Poetry wrote by a blind man. And he was a man that was blind from his birth. You know, if I was to lose my sight today, you could explain things to me that I've never seen by the things that I had. You could say, Daryl, it's like this. Remember when you've seen this? I'd say, yeah, well, it's something like that, but a little different. But to a man that has never seen nothing, how can you explain anything to him? Oh, you can place something in his hands for him to feel. And this man, I believe they had 7 kids. This man, he said for the first time today, he was able to comprehend what a rainbow was. It had been explained to him as best as it could be. And in his mind, he had all these separate colors and separate bows, as it were, separated from each other. But his son had made a piece of art, kind of like what you would hang in a window. You've seen those rainbows that you could make. I'm sure they don't use lead now. They used to use lead. But now that's an oh-no. But anyhow, where they would have the different colors. And he said, for the first time today, he was, I think, 40-some years old. He knew what a rainbow was like. Because he placed that in his hands. And he could feel that. But did he really? He had a better understanding, didn't he? But he didn't know what a rainbow was. Because he said, now I even get to understand how one color went into another. But how can you explain the color prism to a man that had never seen nothing but darkness? Oh, and I don't know to what extent his eyes were, maybe if you shined a bright light in his eyes, if he looked at the sun, he'd see white. And maybe he could have used his imagination somehow to see that there were shades of colors between those two extremes. But I said all of that to say, sometimes when we think about the disciples and those that listen, we say, well, why don't they just listen to what Jesus said? Their mind could not comprehend just how wonderful he was. Their mind couldn't get around the fact that he comes to deliver us today. Oh, they thought, yes, to deliver us from the occupation of the Romans. How about then when Jesus Christ communicated to them, more or less, that no, that his kingdom was not in this present world as to conquer men. How about that? That it was a spiritual kingdom. All right, okay, I understand that. And I'm looking forward to that day when I die that I can see and then to realize that the tomb is empty, so that today, right now, Daryl can have a present relationship with God Almighty. I'm thankful that the Lord has given me more than a promise, but he has delivered on that promise. How many of us have told our children, well, if you do this or this, I'll get you this later? Or maybe sometimes it's not in the positive, it's in the negative. And we say, well, when you're getting home, you're going to get this. And we've made promises. And in order to teach our children that our word means anything, we got to deliver on those promises, don't we? But the Lord did not just simply say, if you serve me, that you'll get to go to heaven. But that if we accept him as our Savior, he will live in our hearts. He will give me strength when I'm weak. He will give me sight when I'm spiritually blind. Now, how can you experience that? How can you explain that to somebody that thinks that all that we see is all that there is? Well, I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us with much more than a promise of a resurrection in the future. But he has blessed us with a personal relationship for today. Some people are somewhat hesitant. Others run to the Lord. But my desire is that you will see him for who he is. You know, a lot of people come to the Lord with a lot of different expectations. We see where on television they talk about Jesus. And you can ask people on the street about Jesus, and you're liable to get them to tell you anything about who he was.
Oh, there's books of fiction that's been wrote about Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how many people that go to church week in and week out have an understanding of Jesus that is not based in the Scripture. Matter of fact, goes quite contrary to the Scripture. But I'm thankful that if we will just make the effort to get up early in the morning and to make that trip, we'll find that all the obstacles have been moved. And the only obstacle that's left is me putting one foot in front of the other. Let's get some song to sing. I'd like to preach a little longer, but it seems our voice is trying to leave us. They're discouraged to sit at home and say, what's the point? The stone's in the way. You know, I can remember many farmers got up in the morning and has to make a trip to town. And has to decide whether to use the truck with the flat tar or the one with the dead battery. You ever had a morning like that? You get up and, oh, for crying out loud, car's flat on the truck. I'll take a car. You get in the car and the battery's dead. You might, maybe, if you ain't had a day like that, you just ain't lived long enough. You will. But those that have reason to come to Christ, and who doesn't? So therefore, I will rephrase it. Those who see their need to come to Christ will. The Lord will remove all obstacles. All we have to do is be willing. All we have to do is say, Lord, I need you. Lord, your words and your promises for a better day in the future ain't enough. I need you today. And he'll come and he'll sup with you. And he'll be one that is closer than a brother. If you can say, this is a man I know
that one that lives in my heart. He'll change you. It's not just the fact that you hold some card that says I'm affiliated with Jesus Christ. But the Bible teaches me that He left that empty tomb so that He might dwell in my heart. Oh, I could preach this message when I was 100 years old if the Lord would allow me, and I still couldn't comprehend. Well, I didn't want to do that, but I'm so glad, so thankful that He did, that He was willing to, and that all He had asked me to is to walk down that road. I'll turn it back over to that.